original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Studio City, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you question your career reality. And this show is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. And our guest will provide advice and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. Our guests work in various professions of entertainment, so that means that we will definitely have someone on the show sooner or later from a career that you are interested. And if you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download one of the shows, then go to the LA Talk Radio website, and that's latalkradio.com. If you're listening to us live, most likely you're already on the website, so you just need to go up to the top of the links and you click at the channel. It says Channel 1. You scroll down and you look for the graphic of our show, Question Reality, and you click the link. And this will take you directly to our archive page where you can view a list of past guests. Our shows are also available for download on iTunes under the podcast section. Just type in Question Reality Radio in the search box if you want to find out about future guests. And you can also visit the official Question Reality website at questionrealityshow.com. questionrealityshow.com. Now, today we have a fantastic guest, as we do every single week, and his name is Aubrey Padmore. He is an author, a motivational speaker, and he's also an owner of a Caribbean voice radio show. And we are going to try to pick his brain today and find out how we can get knowledge, how we can become motivated. If we want to own a radio station, we'll find out how to do it. We're going to try to find out about business. We're going to try to get as much information as we can to help us in our lives. So let me just tell you a little bit about Aubrey. Aubrey is the co-founder of Caribbean Voice Radio. It's an online radio station, and it promotes change and education. He holds a Bachelor's of Professional Studies in Human Services and a Master's in Public Administration from the Metropolitan College of New York, formerly the Audrey Cohen College. And he has traveled to all the islands, and he covers music awards, jazz festivals, and tourism product promotion. So he does it all. And basically, Aubrey has experienced tremendous struggles over the years, ranging from family and social ills. And he doesn't consider himself better than anyone else, but he gives thanks to God for recognizing that the only true promise in the universe is that God is with you regardless of what transpires in your life. And the ultimate question he asks of anyone, including himself, is when all is said and done in your lifetime, in the midst of chaos, are you still standing? And I love that. I think that's really like a positive question that we should ask ourselves. And I was really moved by that when I read that. And he's what's called a change agent. And it's as a change agent, it's important to navigate crisis and chaos in your life and earn the right to be called champion. And I really like that because I think we should all strive to be the champion of something. Even if it seems minuscule to others, it could be the greatest feat of our life. So when life gets rough and you lay in bed struggling and wonder as to how tomorrow will work out on your behalf, Aubrey says the only one listening is God. So in all things he does, God is his inspiration. And in these difficult times, he says people need to be educated regarding the concept of change. It is not conducted in a vacuum. They will have a valid license to go forward to accomplish dreams and goals by applying the concepts we teach in trying times. So this is what Mr. Aubrey is all about. And he provides counseling, consultation to other motivational speakers as well. And he is going to be celebrating change in his life as he formally announces his availability to speak on the five fundamentals of change. And hopefully we find out what they are. And that's part of his 2011 consulting series, which is titled Rekindle Your Dream and Promote Your Passion. I love that. So without further ado, let's say hello to Mr. Aubrey Padmore. Hey, Aubrey, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, my goodness gracious. That was a long. I hope I didn't go too long on your introduction. I had to cut it down, trim it down, because you have so many successes and accomplishments. I just couldn't list them all. I'd be talking the whole 50 minutes.
I was just beginning to fall in love with that guy. He seems to have done so much. Like, who is that guy?
Who is that guy? Boy, is he impressive. I love him. But, you know, what I'd like to start out, doing is I want to know, as a child, what did the little Aubrey Padmore, what did he want to be or what did he want to do as a career when he grew up?
You know, it's kind of interesting that you would ask me that question, because I had this conversation with my mom about just 3 or 4 weeks ago. Actually, maybe 6 weeks ago while I was in Barbados. And I was born and I was a mute for a long time, like maybe 3 or 4 years in my life. And I didn't quite know what I wanted to be or who I wanted to be. But when I started going to school, I had this idea to become a policeman for some reason. I just don't know why. But I guess it's because I used to watch a lot of what they used to call the Paso parades, and I liked the uniform back then. And I always felt that some kind of sense of justice needed to be a part of life. So that was my first inkling of what I really wanted to be. And I never really got into that aspect of things, but later on down the road, I was a part of the New York State courts. So that's the closest I came to law enforcement in that sense, as part of the administration.
Oh, now, tell us your backstory. You are from which island?
I'm from the beautiful island of Barbados.
Woo!
And I say that with a lot of excitement, because it is the paradise of the Caribbean. Some folks listening may not agree, but it's true.
Well, I can't imagine who wouldn't agree. I've never been there, but I have heard wonderful stories. I've heard people, a friend of mine travels frequently, and they go to St. Martin's and they go to Barbados, and she says Barbados is so beautiful. Now,
yeah.
Now, how are I know that today you're in New York. Do you travel frequently from Barbados to the States a lot? And if so, what do you do over here?
Okay, well, I'm doing a couple of things. One is I'm doing, of course, the internet radio, but I'm also teaching right now at a college in New York City. That's one of the reasons I'm in New York City. And when I do travel, is as a result of if I'm covering an event, or if I'm doing some development in Barbados or whatever other island I am in. It's been a phenomenal journey as far as going back and forth, but usually that's the reasoning behind my travel.
Okay, so let me ask you, when you wanted to be a police officer, did you take steps to actually pursue a career as being a police officer? And at what point did you decide, you know what, that's not the path for me? This is my path.
Well, it's an interesting thing. Growing up in Barbados, the one unique thing about the education is that they're constantly mixing the concepts you learn in school with real-time activity. Like, for example, if you want to be a person who deals with metal, they'll teach you as a part of your education in secondary school metalwork or carpentry, or they'll even teach you how to go out and find clay so you can like make pottery and that kind of thing. So as I grew and I got different experiences, one of the biggest things that really called me was the gardening from agricultural science. So I started out doing gardening, and I always like to feel my hand in the mud and in the dirt and planting stuff, lettuce, tomatoes, cabbage, and a different, all those kind of things. So I ended up starting out doing that as a little kid. I was just about 11 years old, and my aunt, her name's Esther, she used to always tell me, well, whatever you want to do, my nickname was Joel, and she'd say, whatever you want to do, Jew, you can do. So I started planting lettuce, tomatoes, cabbage, and everything, and the first thing I thought about was, why can't I just sell this to the supermarket? And she said, yeah, that's a good idea, let's do that. So we started selling lettuce and tomatoes and stuff to one of the local supermarkets, and that became a regular thing, and I started enjoying that. Along the way, I had different experiences as far as sales go, and I started really falling in love with the idea of interacting with people. So from that perspective, I never really got the chance to pursue. The closest thing I came to as far as anything to do with that would be having my brother being in the military and having relatives that were part of the police department. But I never actually took steps to be a police officer.
Isn't that something? We want to be something when we're little, and then for some people, they know in the womb what they want to be, and they just do it, and then others don't know what the hell they want to do, and then they end up doing something that they hate, or they end up doing something that they love. I really don't know the secret. What do you feel if you're doing something that you hate as a career, and you're stuck in it, or you feel that you're stuck in it, what would be your advice to get out of it and make a smooth transitional move? And how would one go about, do you feel one would go about finding a career that they absolutely love and would be able to pay for the bread and butter at the same time? Because sometimes people have jobs that they love, but it may not be able to afford them, you know, rent or food or any kind of minuscule luxury item. So what do you think the secret is?
If you'd asked me that question 3 years ago, I would have given you the basic matrix to go after a job. But in this environment, it's pretty much the entrepreneur time. And to be honest, a lot of times when you're thinking about what is it that I want to do, I'll bring you back to that comment you made as far as do what you love doing. Start with that, because that's going to put you in a very impressive mental mode where you're going to say, well, I'm excited about where I want to go. And you know what enthusiasm is all about? It breeds excitement. And if you're excited, you're going to have more of an urge to really go forward and try to achieve than if you didn't. So I will, first thing I would do is tell someone to really truly think about what it is that you love. And number two, ask yourself, how can I take that which I love and formulate a plan of action to create a monetary equivalent to what I do love? And if you can clarify those two aspects of things, then you're in the process of becoming and being a part of that which you really want to do. As far as number one, what I love, and number two, how does it put bread and butter on the table? The second thing that I would say to the person is, if you don't find that which you love, what are you comfortable with? Build yourself up with something that you're comfortable with, because it's going to serve you in twofold. Number one is, if you do find yourself in a situation, which would be number three, something that you don't love, but you know you're going to be broke, busted, and disgusted, you're going to have to find something that, in the process of you doing something which you don't like, to use that opportunity to build on something that you do like, so that you can go to the next level in terms of achieving that which you want to achieve and really love it and be able to make money with it. So it's kind of a circle.
Well, you know, I love what you just said. I think I'm going to write that down. I got to remember that. You just said, you just said broke, busted, and disgusted. And I love that, because that actually is the way a lot of people feel in the entertainment business. I frequently talk to frustrated actors and singers and dancers and models, and that's pretty much how they feel all the time, because they're not moving fast enough or at a rate that they feel that they need to move, or for whatever reason. And they're pursuing something that they love, but it has such they have such negative feelings so much of the time because they're not being, or at least they feel that they're not being rewarded for the talent that they have, or they're not where they should be. What kind of advice do you give people in that situation?
Well, I think people have to take a stand and really think about what they're thinking about, because people think they think. And thinking is based on the five things that you've got going on around you, what you see, touch, taste, smell, the five senses. How can you now take that apart and say, hey, look, this is what I want to do, but whose vision is it? It's your vision. A lot of times what happens is people become confused. And another thing that my mom taught me, imagine I do motivational speaking, the most thing I remember is what my mom taught me. Never ever let confusion steal your knowledge. And a lot of times strife and frustration will steal your mindset and take away from you that which you really need in terms of being able to focus. What people need to do is to, first of all, try to figure out exactly what they're thinking about and what it is that they want to do. For the most part, and I'm not going to apply this to every person in the entertainment industry, a lot of times what I've experienced in the last 2 to 5 years as far as entertainers, that they might have an idea. Let's say, for example, a singer. They might say, well, I'm one of the greatest singers in the world, and I think that somebody should really pick me up and take me to the next level. But what they have to do is have a sense that the entertainment business is just that. It's a business. So success then becomes a planned event. You have to put activity and behavior in motion in terms of what it is that you want to do in order to make things happen from a business perspective. And then that kind of clarifies where you're headed, because you know it's business. So it's no longer just an emotional head trip. And that way then you can move to the next level as far as what you want to do.
You know, I find that a lot of people in the entertainment business, they kind of forget. It's interesting that you said they got to remember it's a business. And I do try to stress that a lot. A lot of artists say, well, you know, I just want to create. I just want to sing. I just want to dance. I just want to act. And they don't really want to get involved. Not all. I'm not saying everyone. I'm just saying some feel that takes away from their creation, whatever that may be. And they really get stressed out and frustrated at the thought of having to even remotely focus on the business aspect, which is they have to network, they have to market, they have to eventually know where they are at the level to hire a PR person. They just don't want to deal with it. So would you say that they could just continue along that mindset and focus 100% on their craft and hope somebody comes along and discovers them, which I think is what they think is going to happen, that the impresario is going to come along and discover them. And that's what a lot of them think. They think if they just continue focusing only on their art, that that's enough to get them from point A to point B. I tend to disagree, and I tell them, you know, I know it's kind of hard for you to focus on the business aspect, but you got to do it at some point. What do you feel about that?
Well, you're absolutely right. I totally agree with what you're telling them, because it is true. A lot of people who want to be in the entertainment business and are in the entertainment business need to really truly understand that the vision starts with them. They're the ones that want to sing, but every vision and every house that's being built, as an example, needs a foundation. And the true foundation, whether you like it or dislike it, believe it or don't believe it, it's up to you. But you can't put a house together unless you have four posts. Agree? Now, the artists have to recognize that the mechanics of the business require that they have a machine in place. And the machine is, number one, you find someone who has knowledge and capacity as far as built as being a manager in this type of environment. Not an old school knowledge, someone who knows how to deal with the environment as it is now. And if you do not want to invest in your future as a business, I would tell them, you know what, don't get involved. That's just a suggestion, because it's not a quick fix scheme, and it's not a game. It's something that is going to take time. is going to need a progression, and the progression is going to be the team that you put in place, which will include your advertising, your PR, your marketing, and all of those pieces that are very vital, because the artists have to really look, especially the independent ones, have to truly take a look at themselves as a product. And not just as an individual who wants to go sing. If you want to just be a person that goes sing and you don't want to apply the other side of the business, you can go and do that in the shower, or you can go and hang out on the beach or something and sing and do something and then maybe get another job or something. But if
exactly.
you're being serious,
do it as a hobby, right?
Yeah, make it a hobby. But in this environment today, especially when you're looking for people as a support mechanism, and you're going to need sponsors and this kind of thing for what you do, you're going to have to put your best game forward. When someone is looking to invest in you, for example, if I go to a business and I say, listen, I have this artist that I'm looking at, and I put the EPK out there and I call up and I follow up, and the person said, you know, I like what you're doing, and they said, you know what, we're going to give you the ticket to get this person to their event. That's a sponsorship. But also what I'm looking to do is to build a relationship with that sponsor. Now, I never know if I'm going to have to go back to that sponsor and ask for a ticket or clothes or whatever else, but they want to look at progression. And if you have a strong product that you're delivering to them, certainly they're always going to look out to support that which you do. And it's important that this is why it's so important to look at the business side of things when you're really looking at taking yourself to the next level. And just keep in mind that every artist that you hear out in the field that's playing music, like the Rihanna. Rihanna is from Barbados. She's top. We love her. But there are a lot of artists that are independent, that are doing well, following the matrix of development that's crucial for their success, and they're making decent income too.
And that's a good point that you bring up, because long gone are the days when an artist, we're talking musically now, long gone are the days where you can be out playing and an A&E guy comes and says, oh my God, you're the best. I'm going to take you. I'm going to spend this amount of money on you. I'm going to sign you up. It happens once in a while, but now we're getting more into the indie type thing, and you've got to have that indie type mentality where you're out there promoting your own stuff, and that takes business, right? Business.
Yeah, sense. I mean, and the same thing applies to, like, for example, right now we are in one of the things I'm doing in New York is that we just put together a web TV series, and it's a major, it's becoming a major web TV program, and we're going to be streaming it live, and we're actually preparing right now. March the 2nd is going to be the screening at MI5 in New York City. And the cast, it's called Dominion, the series, and we have had to put together a professional opportunity for these folks to be a part of. And it required artists whose music are going to be part of the theme for the TV show, actors who are really serious about what they're wanting to do. And it came together because it was all done professionally as a product. So now it can be put out to different markets for different purpose.
I love that. And we're going to find out more about that on – will you be announcing that on your website, by the way? So I want to keep up with that.
Yeah. We're gonna have it – actually, we have it on our website already. We're trying to work now with our local government representative in New York, Invest Barbados, the Barbados Tourism Authority, and also the Consul General's Office to get support for it and that kind of stuff, and also – members of the New York web series crew. It's a huge organization that has come together in New York with some professional actors and musicians, dancers, drummers, everybody that's a part of the production process, camera people, and so on. And we're putting that together. So we have it up on our website as a link, dominionseries.com. You guys can check it out. And anyone is welcome to give us a shout out and contact us if they're interested in being a part of it.
Okay, so it's not on the AubreySpeaks.com,
it's on Carib Voice Radio.
Okay, caribvoiceradio.org.
Yeah.
Great. All right, we're gonna keep up with that. Now, you have traveled to several islands covering music awards, jazz festivals, and tourism product promotions. What do you do when you go to the music awards, the jazz festivals, and the tourism product places?
Well, when we go there, there are a couple of things that happen. We get invited to come down by the tourism, different tourism organizations, and we actually go and we interview the artists. We write about the event, and we put it through our media and our affiliate organizations to get the word out about what's happening. And we get a chance to really have a one-on-one with the artists to really find out who they are, what makes them tick, where they're going from where they are now, and what their vision is for that year, and so on. Those are the kind of things that we do. And we have an opportunity to talk to the audience to find out what their thoughts are on different aspects of the show and what they think that could be done better. That kind of thing is what we do.
Is music awards and jazz festivals, are they a very prominent part of the entertainment sector in Barbados?
Or is most definitely, because it's part of the tourism product. One of the biggest things that the Caribbean want folks to know, a lot of people think that we grew up on like, you hear soca and maybe calypso. But what we want people to know is that when you grow up in the Caribbean, you are a very serious part of the American way of life in terms of music. And we kind of merge what we learn through that process, R&B, hip-hop, rap, the whole country and Western. You know, when I was growing up,
country and Western? Get out of here! Really?
No, I am not kidding you.
What?
I mean, I can't sing a lick, so I ain't going to try it with all these people listening. But, you know, that song, there was a song that I done in the West Texas town of El Paso. I fell in love with this beautiful girl. And then it goes on and on and on. But back in the day, I mean, that's like growing up in the 70s. That was country and Western was huge.
What? I did not.
No, don't get it twisted, girl.
Don't get it twisted. I love it. But you know what? I'm all twisted up, honey, John, because I had no idea. I would think that there would be some setting on fire of objects if they had country on the radio in the Caribbean. I had no idea. That is cool.
No. We love a lot of what goes on in Texas as far as the music and what we do is we merge a lot of what we do with Caribbean with that, because our music tells the story of who we are, where we come from, where we're going, our history, the relationships, and that sort of thing. For example, a lot of people don't in America don't really know that, for example, Barbados has Washington House. And that's because of the President George Washington's visit when his brother was ill and he was on the island for a week. And there's a lot more going on in the Caribbean as far as history and culture and stuff that I think that folks need to really get into the Caribbean and really get a sense of what's going on in terms of reciprocation. Because if you're living in North America, you grew up in North America, and you're not thinking there's a relationship with the Caribbean, you're wrong. An example of this is that the Caribbean has a very strong relationship with North and South Carolina, pushing all the way down south. And it's a huge historical relationship.
I would think maybe in New Orleans and, you know, and I would think those areas, because I do hear from my friend Beverly, who goes to New Orleans often, that they do have a lot of Caribbean music that plays there. I mean, they have jazz and blues, but there's a large sector that plays Caribbean type music, more calypso and more flamenco, not flamenco, but what's that other one? Gosh, I'm not really familiar with all the music that the Caribbean styles, but she says that it's very prevalent in New Orleans. So
yeah.
I do know New Orleans, but I didn't know North Carolina, South Carolina. But back to what you were originally saying, I do know that Washington had a house down in Barbados, because I heard that was his love shack. I heard old George Washington would hit Barbados frequently as the love shack, and Martha wasn't there. So, yeah, unfortunately, I do tend to gravitate towards the juicier parts of history.
Well, we also still have one of the oldest Jewish synagogues in Barbados, and it's now a tourism attraction. Oh. And you know, you hear the stories about the pirates, Blackbeard and those guys. They actually hung out in Barbados, and when they were being chased and being set up to be hung, they were taken to the Carolinas for processing.
Right.
Yeah, so there's some juicy stuff up in this piece.
Oh, I'm going to have to learn more about Barbados. I like any kind of gossip or juicy stuff. So we're going to have to find out more. But I'm so like, who you told me a couple minutes ago about Rihanna. I'm going to be honest, Aubrey. I am stuck in the 80s as far as my music. The artists, I swear, I haven't really liked anyone like serious since the 80s. I mean, a couple of them, but really, that's my time for music. But I do know who Rihanna is, but I did not know that she came from Barbados. Who are some of the other artists that kind of come from the islands?
Well, there's a new guy there that's doing a lot of jazz. His name is Hal Linton.
Okay.
And right now, I think he's in New York City. And
isn't Seal from the islands?
Who? Seal?
Seal, uh-huh.
I think he's African.
Oh, okay. I thought he was from...
I'm not going to try to name all of them because then that's promoting them too much.
Oh, yeah, we don't want to promote them too much. We just want to promote you. All right, let's get back to you. Okay, so, you know, something that you had said that I really, really loved, and that was you asked the ultimate question of anyone, and that would be, when all is said and done in your lifetime, in the midst of chaos, are you still standing? Tell us about how strong this statement is to you and how other people could ask themselves that question who might be going through some trials right now.
Well, it's one of the most pivotal things for me personally, because I look at myself as a person who always had to struggle to get every single thing that they wanted in life. And I'm talking about that in my second book that's coming out, hopefully in April, Straight On Till Morning. And it's a very deep part of who I am, because, you know, in the process of striving to achieve things, there were a lot of failures and a lot of people that, you know, double cross you, lie, cheat, steal, and kind of try to find a way to stop you. And I didn't really understand what that was all about until I had an incident with a lady where I applied for a job, and she didn't hire me. And then one day something happened like a few months later, and I ended up talking to her, and she kept looking at me and saying, you know, you look so familiar. You sound so familiar. And then we started talking, and she goes, oh my God, you're the guy that I didn't hire. And she said, I'm so sorry. And I said, why? And she said, you know, I got to tell you the real reason, because I don't want you to think that you weren't qualified. I just felt that after talking to you, if I had hired you, you would have come and taken my job. And I was like, oh my God, that's a real serious statement. You know what I'm saying? As I moved through these pieces, I said to myself, you know, what is the best excuse that I can give myself to quit? And because I was so tenacious and created a pit bull attitude, I just didn't know or understand how to quit. So one day, as I was thinking, my thoughts started asking me some questions like, well, you want to quit, right? Well, what is it that you can say that you have done 100% of that would qualify you to quit? And I said, you know what? I really can't honestly answer that question and say that I've done every single thing that I thought I could in order to achieve what I wanted to achieve. So that's how that came about, because the one thing that many people don't do is have a check and balance when chaos reigns supreme in their life. Most times people quit as a result of the largest negative progression they're experiencing at the time that it's happening, and they just feel that it's been so consistent and so persistent over the time that they've been trying that they decide to quit without even checking, because they never stop to have the check and balances. Did I do every single thing? And once you have that check and balance, it becomes an accusatory statement for you. So if you have an accusatory statement that you cannot get past, then you're not qualified to quit. If you have a question that you can totally answer and say, you know what, I don't care if hell or heaven stands still today, I've done every single thing I can do, so I'm qualified to quit, then yeah, you can go ahead and quit. But I haven't found a real reason to say, hey, I can quit. So that is a very deep part of who I am.
Now, you say as a change agent, I don't know what that term refers to, but you say as a change agent, it is important to navigate crisis and chaos in your life and earn the right to be called champion. First of all, what's a change agent and what exactly do you mean by that statement?
Well, a change agent is simply this. Before you can talk about change, you have to talk about it. Have you looked at something that needs to change? You know the old saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it?
Right.
So if you look at something and you say, okay, here I am, there's something going on in my life, and I think that I need to move to a more positive progression with what's happening, and I just don't know how, then what I will do is I would come in and I would talk to you about developing purpose, defining what it is that you think that went wrong, because before you can change, you have to assume the position that there's something going wrong that needs fixing. So you have to then, once you've determined that that's the situation, then we have to look at addressing what it is and what you think the problem is that occurred and what was the causation, and really look at it definitively in terms of what did I do or what didn't I do? What was my role? What percentage is my fault? What percentage do I assess as someone else's fault? Or what do I think is really the problem in terms of what is going on that needs change? So that's what a change agent deals with, things that need to move to another situation based on the person's desire to move upwardly mobile. Now, keep in mind that change could be negative. So I don't want people to think that I'm a part of the negative process of change.
No, of course not. Okay? You're not. Well,
But there's some people who believe it or not, and this is something that I discovered in the process of becoming who I am. There are people, as strong as there are people who are committed to positiveness, there are people who are committed to negative progression and development in that area also.
That is so true. And sometimes they don't even realize that they're doing it.
They don't.
I know so many people, unfortunately, that really are into self-sabotage. And these are people who are pursuing a career in entertainment, yet they are the first to say, well, you know, I'm not really good at that, or that didn't really sound good, or that sucked, or that. It's just constantly. And I'm like, why do you always have to critique yourself in a negative manner? Try to think positive about it. If you didn't create it, stand behind it. But a lot of people really are into self-sabotage and they don't even know they're doing it. And even when you tell them they're doing it, they just don't believe you.
Well, one of my things is that when everybody has what we call now an earth date, right? Or birthday.
Oh, birthday. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and when you come on this planet, you grow and you have different things instilled in you, and some is positive and some is negative, and some of that is taught to you, and some of that are things that based on your own experiences that you interpret and decide if you're going to utilize it as a positive or as a negative thing. And one of the biggest things that people have to understand and really weigh in very strong on is that they were not here for millions of years. They came in as a part of the process, so one of the biggest things that they have to do is choose a direction based on what it is that they want to achieve. And in some cases, especially a lot of kids I talk to, you asked me earlier what it is that I thought that I wanted to do. And I said, well, I wanted to be a policeman. But that came about after experiences that I had in order to help me get where I want to go. And in some cases, and today what I've seen is that a lot of kids, especially young children, don't have a clue what it is that they want to do because they lack so many opportunities for experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in the Caribbean, which gave me an upper hand in so many ways. Because the lifestyle that I grew up in, I had the opportunity to go to the beach. I could go pick coconuts, guavas, cherries, lettuce, tomatoes, whatever I want, fresh. You know, I even learned how to kill a chicken, maybe kill
no!
A...
No! Don't kill a chicken! No!
But man's got to eat. I learned how to do all of those things, and that kind of fueled me with an understanding about what I was capable of doing. When I got into America, the only thing that scared me when I got here was, can I drive on those highways? When I looked at them from the plane, I said, heck no, it's never going to happen. But when I got down on the ground and realized that the principle behind driving and the rules of and regulations that make the world function as a cooperative opportunity, I said, well, I can do that, because the only thing that separates us when we are on the road is that little yellow line that we have to say in our minds, hey, that's the line you don't want to cross.
Right.
And that's what keeps us going in the direction. So the same thing applies to us when we're in the process of looking at who we are, who we need to become, number one, number two, where we're going. And if a shift occurs in our life at some point where we have to decide if we're going to be negative or positive, then we have some kind of skill set that will allow us to decide how we can move forward. One of the biggest things that I do is I say, you know what, I'm going to do a long-range scan to look, and when I have thoughts, I know that they're negative and some are positive. And I say, but let me do a long-range scan, and based on the outcome of that long-range scan mentally, I have to now decide how will I benefit from the outcome of what I perceive as I think about what decision I need to make.
Well, let me ask you, give me five characteristic traits that you feel. And again, this is what you feel, people. I'm mm-hmm. just asking his opinion. Give me five characteristic traits that you feel that a person has to have, possess, or if they don't possess them, you got to go out and manually get them somewhere and absorb them into your being, that it takes to be successful in the entertainment business.
Well, number one that's very crucial is belief. There's nothing more powerful than that, because the biggest thing that you're going to have are people telling you you're not good enough. And if you look at a lot of people who have gone into this business from a historical perspective, there was always someone that told them either you can't mix and master, you can't sing, or you can't produce. And remember, the key word is can't. Number two, make sure that you have a friend. That when you get frustrated enough to say that you're not going to, you have a friend that you can give your hope, your dream, and your value to for safekeeping, that you know no matter what, that's going to be a real friend that you can go back and pick up your dream and your hopes from if you need, or that friend will come to you and say, you know, you left this stuff with me and you never came back to pick it up, so I got to give it back to you because I think it's time you have this stuff back. Have a great friend, one person, male or female. Right. In my case, I have females because I find that women are more consistent and persistent. Nothing against the guys,
mm-hmm.
but nothing against the guys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say that one more time. Nothing against the guys.
Right. Right.
But I started with my mom and my cousin and a lot of people that have influenced me and has given me an opportunity to see both sides of who I truly am, and I'm really excited about that. So that would be number two. Having a good friend. Number three. Develop a system that you know, or find someone who knows how to develop a system to help you get started and have you navigate the process of becoming that which you want to be in the entertainment business. Number four, have the guts to look at yourself as a product, because you're no longer an individual when you step out. keep in mind that the product that you're developing called music, it goes through so many different phases. It is not funny. As a matter of fact, I was listening on the radio today to this song, Thank You for Being a Friend. I think that was the Golden Girls. And I said, you know, this does not have the same appeal to me listening to this on radio as it does when I watch it on TV, even in the reruns. And a lot of those folks are dead except for Betty White. But the enthusiasm and the vision behind it is still there with you when you watch that. Right?
I am so with you on that. I agree totally. Okay. Every time I listen to that and watch, that's one of my favorite shows of all time, I always get a tear in my eye. It never fails.
I like it when they're like a chain together and they're hustling out the door.
I love that. Oh God, I love that. It tears me up all the time. Like I get a tear all the time.
I think I must be showing my age right about now.
Number four.
All right, that was number four, right?
Oh yeah, number four.
Okay, and number five is very, very important. Never ever let confusion steal your knowledge. Because that applies not to just what my mother told me, but it applies to every single thing that's going on today. I wouldn't break it down like that otherwise, but everything is morphing so fast. And one of the primary things that I see, regardless of race, creed, color, nationality, is that confusion out here is stealing a lot of people's belief, knowledge, capacity, desire. Because when you take food, clothing, and shelter, and I wouldn't say sex because then I'll start a whole new story. When you take the four fundamentals that keep people moving on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis away from them and give and have them the pride and desire to really go out and foster behavior and foster activity that will help you nourish yourself back, then, you know, that's what will steal everything from everyone. And having the dream is the biggest thing, because if you look at what's going on now in the economy with jobs, you have to stop and think about every job function was the result of a dream that someone had to create a product or service that people need, want, desire, and could afford. And that started out as a dream. We had a dream to have cohesion, and we gave the rights to, like, for example, the government to do certain things for us, to have certain functionalities for us, so that we could go out and do other things. And that is why we have all these systems in place that relate back to the idea of making the dream perpetual. So those are the five things that I would say that you need.
I love that. And I agree with all of them. And I'm very appreciative of your perspective. I think that everything you said was completely relevant. And I hope that my listeners listen to what you say and make the changes that they need to make in their life. So now we've got 3 minutes to go. And I want to talk a little bit about what you're doing right now. I know that you provided personal counseling and consultation to other motivational speakers and coaches, for years, and you have such celebrated speakers as Dr. Anita Davis Defoe of the Caribbean Women Today fame, and you've been the personal coach of CEO Eve's Creation in Barbados, who through your talents and wisdom that you met her online, and as a result now I think Miss Maynard has also become an author and a motivator and produced her own CD, Life Without Limits. So you go around doing this professionally. You know, how's that going for you? Do you feel that in this economy right now, do you get a lot of motivational speaker engagements? Are you doing more authoring, like writing books right now? You know, what are you doing based on the economy? And tell us about where we can find you, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, the biggest thing that we're doing right now is really putting together an educational program to help people get back on their feet. I started this kind of stuff while I was working for New York State courts. And for me, it's more labor of love than anything else. And it does work in certain instances, and then in other instances, it doesn't work. But the biggest thing that we have going for us is that we are doing a lot of one-on-ones with people. because a lot of folks need a lot of help in how to get going and how to get started and really trying to navigate the waters in so many different areas. So we're putting together we're getting a lot of requests for people to publish their book, do DVDs, and also a lot of folks want to find out a lot about how to do their own media stuff. So we're putting together a lot of information on that, especially on grant writing in this environment, what's going on, how to get your own 501c3 together and so on, and that sort of thing. What I'm doing right now in New York is, number one, I went back to get my certification for television production through community TV. And for those of you who have community TV at your exposure for you, and you don't use it, then that's the dumbest move you can have, because you can go into a studio and learn how to do a real production. You know that everything is on video right now. The most important thing that I'm doing right now is teaching at Metropolitan College of New York, my alumni, and I'm having a really good time doing that. In addition to everything that I'm doing right now with Carib Voice Radio, doing the authoring, the publishing, and the development. So that's been phenomenal. And in June, we're going to begin a boot camp in the Caribbean, in the island of Barbados, ongoing at the new facility that we're going to be working with and really have that moving, so that people can come into the Caribbean and kind of rekindle their dream, promote their passion, and then we kick them back out into North America and elsewhere so they can go ahead and make some serious mistakes and succeed by trying.
Hey, yay! Oh, my God. Well, you're a busy guy. Let me tell everybody right now, Aubrey Padmore, author, motivational speaker, owner of Caribbean Voice Radio. Check him out on aubreyspeaks.com. That's AubrySpeaks.com. Or Carib Voice Radio, CaribVoice Radio.org. We want to thank you so much for being on the show. I've run over. I'm going to get in trouble. Say goodbye, Aubrey. Thank you so
goodbye,
much.
Aubrey.
Thank you so much. God bless you. We'll see you next week on Question Reality. Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.